ധ്യയാമോദവളാവഗുണ്ടനവതീം തേജോമയീം നൈഷ്ടിക്കീം സ്നിഗ്ധാപാംഗവിലോകിനീം ഭഗവതീം മന്ദസ്മിതശ്രീമുഖീം വാത്സല്യാമൃതവർഷിണീം സുമധുരം സങ്കീർത്തനാലാപിനീം ശ്യാമാംഗീ മധുസിക്തസൂക്തിം അമൃതാനന്ദാത്മികാമീശ്വരീം. While we are continuing Yoga Vasishta, so parallelly we will start with one of the chapters of Gita. So this is going to be the sixth chapter of Gita. Of course, we don't have to be afraid that we haven't learned any other chapters or any other scriptural works, and that we are learning all of a sudden, like we are learning Gita, what will happen, how it will be. And all those, we don't have to worry, because any shastra, any work explains the same concepts. So nothing is different. Like everything explains about Brahman, and Brahman alone is the subject matter. So that Brahman, like if we are able to keep that Brahman in mind, if we are able to, in our mind, contemplate on Brahman, then any shastra, whatever shastras we learn, we'll be able to get immense bliss out of it. So that is the goal of life. The goal of life is to remain blissful, is to remain very happy amidst all situations. So all situations, so today we see that there are problems everywhere. So we see problems ranging from earthquakes, tsunamis, and of late the winter storm that affected Europe, many parts of Europe, as many as 50-60 people have died as a result of the winter storm in Europe, many parts of Europe, and the same can be said to be in US, like where the storm in northeast affected a lot of people. So today we see that there is problem everywhere. Problems are there everywhere. Problem sources are not one. We may think the source of problems are just like one or the other, but that's not the case. Problems are many. Problems are not just one or the other, but problems are many, and when one seems to vanish, the other comes in. So amidst all these problems, we only contemplation or knowledge of Brahman will take us through the problem and make us blissful. So that is what we have to understand, we have to keep in mind. So anyway, Brahman is the subject matter of all shastras. So Brahman is the subject matter. So irrespective of whether it is Gita, whether it is Upanishad, whether it is Brahma Sutra, whether it is Yoga Vasishta, whether it is Bhagavatam, all the scriptures have just one subject matter, and that one subject matter is Brahman. So once we get a grasp of Brahman, once we are able to keep in mind Brahman, once we are able to remember or contemplate on Brahman as pervading this world, then problems will cease to be problems. Problems will still be there, but we will be able to carry those problems, we will be able to face those problems with a smiling face, in the best possible way, we will be able to deal with them, and that is obviously, or that is the ultimate goal of life. that irrespective of whatever is the problem that we are facing, remaining very blissful. So while considering the shastras, while we are talking about various shastras, many shastras which preach about Brahman, the one that stands out very well is the Bhagavad Gita. So Bhagavad Gita is a work, or is in the form of a communication, or samvadam, as it is said, between Krishna and Arjuna. So Krishna is the guru. Krishna is the guru, and Arjuna is the disciple. So the stage, okay, this is for Paril's benefit. So the stage that is set in Bhagavad Gita is we see that when Kauravas and Pandavas standing face to face, Dharma Kshetre Kuru Kshetre Samaveta Yuyutsava. So first of all, whatever is happening in the war field, Yuddham, Yuddha Kshetram, is an explanation or a explanation of what is happening and in the war field from Sanjaya to Yudhishthira, Dhritarashtra. So Dhritarashtra asks, Dhritarashtra asks as to what is happening. So what is exactly happening? Sanjaya, tell me what is happening. And thereby Sanjaya narrates whatever is happening. So Sanjaya says that what is happening is Arjuna, when he sees all the great people as per him standing opposite to him and with whom he has to fight, so Arjuna says that I'm not able to fight because I am attached. These are my people. So my guru, my grandfather, my brothers, if not real brothers, cousins, so they are all standing in front of me and I have to fight them. So I can't do that. This is adharma. So that is the stage setting. So this is something that we can relate ourselves with. So when we see in the world, we see that many of us are struggling in the world when it comes to relatives, when it comes to friends, when it comes to standing up to what we believe and not just depending on whatever others say. So we struggle. So we always try to adjust our lives depending on other people's desires, other people's requests, other people's expectation, and that always causes problem. It is not just once or twice, it always causes a problem. So that is what happens with Arjuna as well. So whatever Krishna is explaining here is apt for is very apt for us or people in the world who are suffering amidst all the pressure that comes from friends, relatives, parents. So nobody, so in this world, as we see today in this world, nobody is helping us out. So there are very few people who are ready to help us out, and even those people are being discouraged by others. So as we see in the world, if we go to Amma's place, we can see many brahmacharis and brahmacharinis joining Amma's ashram, but they face a lot of problem because their parents don't agree their parents are not happy with whatever is happening with their children. So that is how we see. So amidst all this, a person falters, a person falls down for attachment. So like the main lesson that we can learn from Gita is attachment will always cause us sorrow. So attachment should never, let go of dharma or truth with respect to attachment. So if truth has to prevail over our attachment, we should let go of our attachment. But that is not something which is very easy to implement unless we have proper knowledge. So we see that people, we see Arjuna getting very attached to the people like whom he has to fight. So he forgets dharma and he tries to run away from the war or yuddha kshetram by keeping his attachment in front. So that is how like most of us generally do. So when it comes to this yuddham means the good against the bad. So good means that which is Ishvara, Ishvara Bhavam. Brahma Bhavam is good, whereas bad is attachment. Brahma, like renouncing Brahma Bhavam for the sake of attachment, Ragadvesham. So that is bad. But what happens generally is like we aren't able to let go of attachment. So instead we try to run away from the Yuddha Kshetram. So obviously if we run away, which is equivalent of letting bad win. Of course, bad is already winning, as we see in Mahabharata. So bad is already winning. So if we run away, that means like we let it win again. So such letting it win also is fine. There is nothing wrong with letting bad win. But the problem is when bad wins over good, which means Brahma Bhavam vanishes, Advaita Bhavam vanishes, Dvaita Bhavam comes, which means that we will end up suffering. So sorrow or dukkham will be the goal if we let bad win over good. So that is a lesson that we learned in Mahabharata. So Arjuna, like when Arjuna is saying all this, Arjuna is so blind by passion that he forgets the true dharma. Krishna, the guru of Krishna, the Jagat Guru of Krishna, Krishna Mande Jagat Gurum. So the Jagat Guru of Krishna comes to instruct Arjuna, and like I say to Arjuna, "Oh Arjuna, what you are thinking is wrong, and this is not right," and explain him. And Krishna is a very, very, very passionate, very compassionate, passionate as well as compassionate guru, because he repeats all those, like whatever he has to say to Arjuna, he repeats it for the entire 18 chapters. So he repeats it over and over again. So therefore, these teachings, like once we learn the various chapters of Gita, it is like repetition. Everything is repeated from a different perspective. So perspective may differ. So in one chapter, it will be bhakti, which is the subject matter. In another chapter, there will be jnanam. Yet another chapter, karma. But from all these perspectives, focus is on Advaitam. Focus is on Advaitiya Satyam. Focus is on Brahman. That is the greatness of Bhagavad Gita. So, after listening to all this, all the statements of the Lord, Arjuna finally realizes. And then he does the right thing of fighting, like adharma. Fighting adharma means fighting Dvaita Bhavam, maintaining Advaita Bhavam, that is what Arjuna does. So when we learn Gita, we will also be able to transition from the Arjuna who lets bad win to the Arjuna who is able to withstand, stand against passion, so that contemplation of Brahman and Anandam is Anandam is experienced, or we are able to experience Anandam. So it is like Bhagavad Gita itself is a beautiful text. we are going to learn the sixth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So we will not learn the sixth chapter or enter into any shlokas today. We'll just see a brief or like a brief into what would be the subject matter of the sixth chapter, and then like we will start alternatively, like we will take up Yoga Vasishta one day and Gita the other day. So we will alternate. So the sixth chapter consists of a lot of shlokas, which is it is among the chapters which have a lot of shlokas. There are chapters, many chapters which have just 15 or 20 shlokas. 20 shlokas is the minimum. So 20 to 30, 35, 40 shlokas are there. So sixth chapter has in total 47 shlokas. Sixth chapter is called Dhyana Yoga. Though I have seen like many other names as well for this chapter. So sixth chapter basically speaks about how to do dhyana. Sixth chapter also speaks about what is yoga. So dhyanam, dhyanam means like we know that dhyanam is one part of the ashtanga yoga. In order to attain or reach the perfection of yoga. So that means yogam is also the subject matter of this verse. So yoga or yogam is in what we could generally consider it to be Patanjali yogam or asanas, pranayama and all. We think that is yoga. Or some people who have some insight into yoga shastra might say it is yoga chittavritti nirodha, or removal or negation of the thoughts of the mind, that is yogam. But we will find as we progress, as we see more and more of this chapter, we will find that that is not the case. So yogam is also explained. So and like since dhyanam, yogam all go hand in hand, so there also control of mind is something very very essential. Mind is the cause of problem. So control of mind is very essential. We have to remain focused. So that is what Krishna also deals in this chapter. And at the end of this chapter, Krishna also explains as to what would happen when a person falls down from this state of yoga. So that is also something like which is worth remembering. Like when we come to that shloka, it is worth remembering, because as Amma always says, like spiritual sadhana, spiritual whatever we do, whatever input we put into the spiritual path, that is like a fixed deposit. It will always be there. It will never perish. It will never vanish. So continue or start in the spiritual path, at least start in the spiritual path, and like we don't end up realizing Brahman in this birth, then we will definitely continue. We'll definitely continue in the next birth with Brahman. There is no doubt about this. That is also what Krishna will say. So anyway, we will just discuss as to yogam. So just yogam today. So that is the main subject matter of this chapter. So yogam, yogam like is best defined by Krishna in the second chapter as samatvam yogam uchyate. So samatvam, samabhavanam, samadarshanam, that is yogam. So in a way, yogam is not different from jnanam. So jnanam means Advaitam or Advitiya Satyam or Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya. So that is Jnanam. The same is Yogam. So Jnanam is more like from an intellectual perspective, whereas Yogam is from a mental perspective. So both are Antakarna. It is just a looking at a different perspective, looking from a different angle. So it is just a different view. The view is different. The underlying truth is one and the same. So that is what we have to remember when Krishna says samatvam. So samabhavanam, samatvam is jnanam. So samatvam means seeing oneness everywhere, seeing everything as equal. So seeing everything as equal, seeing oneness, both are exactly the same. So we cannot say we cannot see equal. We cannot see things as equal. So if we see things as like, or if we see things as equal, that itself means that we see everything as one. So without like equating two things means like making both those the same. So that is samatvam, that is oneness. So that means like when we want to have a kind of mental peace, or when we want to control the mind can be controlled only through this vision of oneness or samatvam, equanimity of the mind. So the mind, like if it has to see things equal, that is only when it realizes that everything is one and the same. And that it definitely is jnanam, as we already know. So that is jnanam. That is jnanam, because jnanam means like realizing that everything is one Brahman. This jagat that we see is just mithya. And then what is this jagat? This jagat is Brahman. So like remembering that this jagat is Brahman is jnanam. And that is the same as samatvam or vision of oneness as well. And so that is yogam. And such vision of oneness is praised like variously in the Shastras. So Ishavasya Upanishad in the beginning itself says, Ishavasyam idam sarvam. Ishvara pervades this entire world. Ishvara is everything. Ishvara is everything. Ishvara is everything. Ishvara is everything because like he is the substratum. Yato va imani bhutani jayante yena jatani jivanti yat prayanti abhisambishanti tad vijijnyasasva tad brahmeti. Like that from which Brahman that from which the world has come, that on in which the world resides, and that onto which the world merges at the time of destruction of the world, that is to be known, and know that to be Brahman. So that is what Upanishad, Taittiriya Upanishad says. So that is Ishavasyam idam sarvam. That means this entire world is Brahman, because entire world has come from Brahman, it resides in Brahman, it merges onto Brahman after destruction. Which means it cannot be different from Brahman. It has to be one with Brahman. That which comes from Brahman, that which resides in Brahman, that which merges onto Brahman, is definitely one with Brahman. It cannot be different from Brahman at all. So even as the pot that comes from mud is or resides in mud, because it is just a name and form in mud. And like when the pot is destroyed, it becomes one with mud again. So that means that it is like, that itself means that it is always one with mud, or mud alone exists. The same way Brahman alone exists in this entire world. So, Ishavasyam idam sarvam. And then later the Upanishad says that, Yasmin sarvani bhutani atmaiva bhut vijanataha. So, a person who has realized that this entire world is one self, it is one Brahman who has become this entire world. Become means as if become this entire world. Mayeva udeti chit vyomni jagat gandharva pattanam. So this entire world has come from me. Me as Chaitanya, me as Brahman. So one who has realized that this entire world has come from Brahman, or it is Brahman or the Atman that has become this entire world, which means dvaita bhavam vanishes. When dvaita bhavam vanishes, tatra ko mohaha. Where there be any delusion? Delusions means dvaita bhavam. There is no dvaita bhavam, then how can there be any delusion? Tatra ko mohaha. Kaha shokaha. Where is there is dukkam? There is no shokam, there is no dukkam, because everything is one Brahman. If everything is one Brahman, like what shokam? There will be hope. Everything is Brahman. A person will be able to convince, pacify the mind saying that everything is Brahman and remain very blissful, very happy, because ekatvam anupashyataha, because he sees like oneness everywhere. So vision of oneness is praised. Like even Krishna uses a very beautiful shloka, very similar shloka, sarvabhutastam atmanam sarvabhutani chatmani Ikshate Yoga Yuktatma Sarvatra Samadarshinaha. In the 6th chapter itself, we'll see that later. Krishna says that one who sees the self in all and all in the self, that means merging everything into one, making everything vanish and becoming one. Where a person who does that, a person who sees oneness alone, such a person, like, he has samadarshanam and he is a true yogi. So yogam is not just a renunciation of the mind or negation of the thoughts of the mind. So thoughts of the mind, like when we negate the thoughts of the mind, like it is negation, like it means like we are removing the thoughts. So thoughts cannot be removed permanently. Thoughts, like when thoughts vanish, they'll come back again. So it is like a house. So we can remove people from the house. So the tenants, like, get out of the house, or their lease gets over and they move out of the house. Then, like, we may think, oh, tenants moved out, which means now the house is free. So, like, will the house remain free forever? No. Because if the house is there, like, somebody has to stay. So that means somebody else will join. So which means it will never remain without a tenant. So tenants will, like, once tenancy is not there, like, for some period of time, and then again tenants will come. So similar is the case with mind as well. So the mind, if we try negating the thoughts of the mind, like, for some time it will be there. But how long can we remain like that? So as Krishna says, like, we cannot remain without doing actions in the world. So even Nirvikalpa Samadhi we can do for many kalpas, many yugas, but after that we'll again have to come back. When we come back, the same world, it's the same sun, the same moon, so everything is exactly the same. So that means it is a temporary state, it's not a permanent negation. So true negation or elimination or destruction of the mind is knowing that there is no mind. How can we know that there is no mind? Mind based or mind feeds on duality. So negate duality through Advaita Bhavam, automatically the mind is as good as not there. It's as simple. And that is true yogam. That is true yogam. That is true yogam, where a person is able to focus on Advaita Bhavam. Thereby, thoughts of the mind, though they may be there, they don't affect. Who can there be thoughts, but still a person will not get affected by the thoughts? Of course, definitely. So how? Ramana Maharshi is a very beautiful example. I think today, at least in US today, I think today or yesterday or is Purnami. So let's say, like, it's a Purnami day. It's a full moon day. And in the evening, so when we go out for a walk, yesterday was Holi, Aparna says, so I think Holi is on Purnami day, maybe, I don't know, I'm not sure though. So here it is today, so that means today is Purnami, could be. So, like, during such a day, like, when the it's full moon day, in the evening, like, we are, it's in the evening time, the sun is about to set, then, like, what happens is, like, we see that the moon has started coming, but the sun is also there. So, the sun, when the sun is there, like, the moon is also there. When the sun is there, stars are also there. Everything is there. When the sun is there, everything is there. And, like, stars, we can say during daytime stars cannot be seen, moon cannot be seen. But during evening sometime we can see that, like, one end there is sun, the other end there is moon. So, but, like, the moon, does the moon affect anything? Definitely no. The moon doesn't cause anything because the sun is still there. So as long as the sun is there, the sun, if the sun, the sun of Brahman or Atman is there, as long as that is there, the moon or the mind or the thoughts of the mind will not affect us. So the keeping the sun up, or sun always up, is keeping Brahma Bhavam in the mind. So when we keep Brahma Bhavam in the mind, though externally, like, we may have to do activities, which means thoughts are still there. Sorry, we will not get affected by the thoughts because Brahma Bhavam is there. Since we have Brahma Bhavam, Advaita Bhavam, therefore thoughts, though they are harmless. They don't affect us at all. So that would be the state of a true yogi, like when thoughts are still there, but thoughts don't affect, thoughts don't taint, thoughts don't nashta manasa utkrishta yogina krityam asti kim swastitim yataha. So Ramana Maharshi says that nashta manasa, like when a person's mind is destroyed, means dvaita bhavam vanishes, then like such a yogi whose mind has completely destroyed, dvaita bhavam has completely vanished, there is no activity to do, there is no krityam, there is no duty, but still everything still goes on. So duties are not there, but still activities go on. The activities still go on. There is no dearth for activity. Activities are still being done. A yogi also does activities. So the yogi of Ramana Maharshi, the Ramana Maharshi was a yogi. Like he did activities, but still his mind was abiding on Brahman. And Ramana Maharshi himself gives a perfect example of a yogi and as to how such a yogi would behave in Krishna himself. Krishna was a yogi. So Krishna was not a sannyasi. Krishna was not a jnani. Krishna was a yogi. So a jnani means like a jnani is like always a guru. A jnani is a guru means a guru will always do good actions because yadyat acharati sreshtaha tatta devaitaro janaha sayat pramanam kurute lokas tadanu vartate. So whatever a wise person does, others emulate. So if let's say Balamurli Krishna does something, people will imitate or emulate him. So knowing that this happens, such wise people, jnanis or avataras or mahatmas will always do good actions so that others are not misled, others are not led in the wrong direction. So this is like a very true in the case of parents or mother. So the mother always ensures that when the child is there, she behaves properly. That's why in US, like it is always a norm, or it's always important that even parents who have divorced, they behave properly in front of the child, because else the child will be spoiled. Child learns from their parents. Of course, there is that there. It is just a temporary role modelship shown there, not permanently. So therefore, what happens is most of the time the child somehow or the other understands or finds out, and then like it goes into trouble, depression, drugs, many other things are there in this world as a result of that. So anyway, because parents are role models, or like even the president, like various presidents, they are role models, but still they do bad activities and people emulate from them. So a jnani is a person like from whom we can completely imitate. Whereas a yogi is a person like whose activities might not really make sense. So the yogi's mind is totally fixed on Brahman, but externally activities we may not say what the yogi might do. So Shankara says yogaratova bhogaratova sangaratova sangavihinaha yogam bhogam sangam asangam. All those are performed, but internally like Brahman is remembered. So though like we cannot base ourselves, like we cannot imitate a yogi, we'll have to be careful in imitating a yogi. Whatever the yogi says, and instructions of the yogi to us, that we can follow, not the actions. So Krishna, if we try imitating Krishna, oh, Krishna is a Jagat Guru, I will imitate Krishna. So then the first thing like that will come to our mind is obviously 10,008 wives. And can we have 10,008 wives? I don't think law supports it today. So we can only, like a person can only marry another person, only one person. Even if it is of the same sex, it doesn't matter. Only one person can marry. Oh, Muslims can marry many times. Okay, those are not accepted in the government. The government or federal rule is not accepted, like federal rule or law doesn't accept multiple marriages, though Muslims it is accepted, or in, I think so, I may be wrong, but anyway it doesn't matter. So like first of all, it is impossible, legally impossible today, legally impossible to be like Krishna in that perspective. And even if we say that it is possible, so as in Tamil it goes like chinna veedu, so if we think like we can have garwali and baharwali, so if we think like we can even survive like that, so then we can watch the garwali baharwali movie. So it's a very beautiful movie, comedy movie of Anil Kapoor. So like we can, like if we think that can happen, like then we can look at people like who have done that, who are doing that. It is almost impossible. All those are not at all possible. So like even like surviving with one wife or one husband is impossible today. In today's world, even that is not, that even like is kind of often leads to divorces. And that itself like is kind of a turbulent relationship always is there. Rarely cases when a married couple are loving at all times. But like that's not the case with Krishna. Krishna didn't have any problem with all of the 10,000 of his wife. Oh, Rukmini and Satyabhama fought with each other. So that was Krishna's play. Krishna wanted to teach like Satyabhama that what really matters is love. And like she taught that. And once he taught her that, then they both lived happily. So it means like Krishna, all the wives of Krishna were happy. So this is just an example. We can take many other examples. Okay, Yuddham. When it comes to Yuddham, there are rules. So that's why Amma always says, today Yuddham has no rules. Today, like I kill you, you kill me. So a terrorist attack, and therefore like go and attack in Iran, Iraq. So today we see like news of civilians getting killed because of the war that is, or Yuddham that is created, of course, by United States and many other nations. We can give reasons for Yuddham. Yuddham can be avoided like at all costs. So LTTE, we know what happened. The same LTTE people, like when they went to meet Amma, like when Amma went to Sri Lanka after tsunami, I guess. So they went to meet Amma. And like when questioned by press, they said, okay, like there is no standing against the love of a mother. That's what they said. So they were also human beings. So all those Yuddham and all can be avoided at all cost. But it still happens. And like today, Yuddham doesn't have any rules. And like even if rules are there, it is very tough to fight. But Krishna, look at Krishna, how treacherous at times, treacherous cheating. Cheating also, Krishna did cheating in many cases while killing Drona, while killing or getting Bhishma fall down. So cheating, treachery, all those were there. Cheating, treachery, all those were there, and he also followed rules. So today, like let's say, if cheating has to be done, then what will happen? Beginning is cheating, middle is cheating, end is cheating. So it starts with cheating, it resides in cheating, and it will end in cheating. But with Krishna's case, that's not the case. At times, like he followed dharma, at times he did cheating as well. So like he was like a proper blend. But that means like, can we follow that? Can we emulate or imitate that? It's impossible. It's impossible. Is it possible like to maybe, and once we become a realized person, it is possible. On one hand, Krishna goes to meet, goes as a duta in order to avoid Mahabharata against the wishes of the Pandavas. He goes as a duta, and then like he asks like for five kingdom, and then five town, five village, five house, one house. So he asks for a lot of things. And then like when Duryodhana is able to or about to attack him, he takes Vishwarupa Darshanam. So he takes Vishwarupa Darshanam. Duta is not supposed to do any of those. So he does that. And the same Duta who was attacked by Duryodhana, the same Duta offers Duryodhana his Sena for the Yuddham. So how controversial. So this is why, like, if we don't understand that Krishna is a yogi, then the all problems will come. We will not be able to understand his actions. And then, like, we will be running here and there trying to get heads and tails out of Krishna's activities, and not being able to understand it, we will end up in sorrow. So that is why Krishna is a yogi. This beautiful story is explained by Ramana Maharshi. So when Parikshit was born, so we know that when Parikshit was born, Ashwatthama sent his Brahmastram. Brahmastram cannot be negated or nullified. So Krishna, of course, Bhagavatam says that Krishna, using his Vajram, he went into the womb of Uttara. I think Uttara is the wife of Abhimanyu. So Uttara's womb, and then, like, he destroyed the Brahmastra. He shielded Parikshit. Parikshit remembers that at a later point, in before starting to learn or hear about Bhagavatam from Shuka Brahma Rishi. So Parikshit, like, there is another another version of this story that Ramana Maharshi says. So Parikshit, as a result of this Brahmasram, Parikshit was born as a still baby. So he was still born. So he didn't have life. So then, like, astrologers and all were there. So astrologers said that if he is touched by a Nitya Brahmachari, so eternal celibate, so if he is touched by an eternal celibate, then he will come to life. So there were many people there around, including Shuka Brahma Rishi. So Shuka is like he's an Atiyashrami, so he was also there, not bound by rules. But everybody was afraid to touch the child, because everything is at stake. So when somebody says, okay, walk one more step and you will fall down, though we may not fall down, how many people will have the courage to walk that step? Of course, like, we have to say with power, if you walk, you will fall down. Will anybody walk? It's very rare. It's impossible. Almost impossible. So everybody was afraid. Even Shuka Brahma Rishi was afraid. So at that time, Krishna, like, sees that, like, nobody is there to protect the child. He touches Parikshit. Parikshit comes to life. Nitya Brahmachari, one who has 16,008 wives, not to count the gopis, Radha and many others, still, he is a Nitya Brahmachari. Yeah, is it all possible? It is very much, very well possible, because Krishna is a yogi. So externally, he was not a Brahmachari, but internally, he was a Brahmachari, which means he was a yogi in the mind. So a yogi or yogam is a state of the mind, not external activities. External activities, like, we cannot judge a yogi by his external activities. A yogi can be judged by the bliss that emanates from the yogi. A yogi will be very blissful. A yogi will be very happy. And any person who comes in contact with the yogi will be able to experience that bliss. So that is the quality of a yogi. A yogi is very presence will be like sun, glowing like the sun. So wherever the yogi is, there will be hope. Wherever the yogi is, there will be happiness. There will be lack of sorrow. Sorrow will vanish. Samsaram will vanish. Dukkham will vanish. But externally, like, we cannot emulate or imitate the yogi, because the yogi is not like any other person. The yogi is mentally abiding in Brahman, therefore he is not a proper role model. So obviously that state of mind is similar with respect to a yogi and a jnani. So we are not interested in becoming like Krishna, so don't even start thinking that, oh, I want to become like Krishna. It's impossible. So it is almost impossible to become like Krishna. Therefore, you should never, like, try that out. We don't want to become a yogi. What do we want is that yogam, the yogam manasa mardhanam, yogam, that yogam which kills the mind. yogam, that yogam which destroys the dual notions of the mind, that yogam which makes us rejoice in bliss, that yogam which eradicates duality, eradicates sorrow for once and for all, that yogam we are interested in. And then depending on our role in this world, we may become a jnani, we may become a yogi, we may become like Kanchi Paramacharya, Chandrasekhar Indra Saraswati Swamigal, or Chandrasekhar Bharati Swamigal. They were all Jivan Muktas. They were like Ramana Maharshi, but they were all jnanis. So they were role models. They used to do dhyanam, japam. They used to do all those. They used to talk about Vedanta, proper Vedanta. They used to do all those. Whereas Ramana Maharshi, not a proper person, like Kaupinam, Kaupina Dhari. And like you never know what will happen. Like he may speak like one word, he may not. He'll not speak, like he will speak very bluntly. He will scold a person. He will not even answer a person. Like he may be, talk to somebody else, and the answer will be there for somebody else. He'll be talking to A, whereas the answer, he would be answering the question of B, but like he'll be talking to A. So all those like are not role, like it's not a role model for us, so we should not try to emulate or imitate it. So what we are interested in, how we can gain yogam, and the mind concentrating on non-duality, advaitam, the mind devoid of dual thoughts, the mind devoid of dukkham, that is what we are interested in, that is what like we have to focus on, that is what we have to concentrate on. But in order to concentrate on that, so it means like mind has to be proper. So mind can be proper only when we develop few qualities of the mind, like dhyanam. We do dhyanam, focusing. We practice refraining of the sense organs, so that the mind doesn't go outside, the mind resides inside. And along with that, karma also plays an important role, because the karma, external actions, are propelled by thoughts or desires in the mind. So if we don't get a grasp over karma, if we don't conquer the bondage of karma, then the mind will have desires. Desirous mind means dual mind, which means suffering mind. So that is also essential. So all those are required ultimately to gain yogam or samatvam. So those samatvam is like very simple as remembering that everything is Brahman. We may not be able to get it in the first place. We may not be able to get it like initially itself. It may take us many years. At times like it may take us many years to get that. And like not just many years of sadhana. It will require many years of sadhana. We may have to go through a lot of spiritual practices in order to get that state. So as simple as it might seem, it isn't possible that easily. It isn't possible to directly implement it. Therefore, we have to go through. We have to follow all those routines, all those activities, and all those. Those are being explained very beautifully in this chapter of Gita. So along with that, like again reiterating, so we should never think about, okay, should I start in Vedanta? I only have 10 years more left in my life, or 50 years, or 60 years. 60 years is very less. Sorry, 60 years is very less. So I have only 60 years. So therefore, should I start Vedanta? Or should I start something else? I have heard that Vedanta takes a lot of time. So why not like start it in the next birth? What will happen like if I am in between? So let's say like I am earning money. So I am in a business and which is profiting. And I am about to become a millionaire. And all of a sudden I die. So next birth, like I will not be a millionaire. Because it is this birth. It gets stopped. And the fruits may be there. The fruits may come in a different way. Money, earning money, like might come in some other way. Not the money. The money will not go. And the money will not be carried along. So what about this yogam, this state or moksha or Vedanta, whatever we have attained in Vedanta, will that be carried over? So if it is not carried over, then it's not worth struggling for. Let me enjoy life. So we should never do that. It will always be carried over. Vedanta, even vasanas of the mind get carried over. And Vedanta is the strongest vasana in the mind. It is the strongest vasana because it is true vasana. Truth has power. So we know truth has power. So truth, as light or as weak as it might seem, it is very strong. The vasana of truth is so strong that somehow or the other day it will come out. So this true vision, Vedanta or moksha means true vision. So that such true vision is also a strong vasana, and that will get continued in the next birth, in the next many births. So we see in Bhagavatam, where Bharata, like the king of Bharata, the king of Bharata, so Bharata was a king, and he did lot of dhyana, and like after many years of dhyana, he took to, in a way, a recluse life. So being as like going into a forest in a hut, doing just dhyana, but like he was not focused. He didn't know Brahman. He was not focused on Brahman. He was concentrated on the form of Vishnu, and therefore he gets attached to a deer, and he is born as a deer in the next birth. But the dhyana that he had done, that still remains. So even as a deer, of course, animals don't have the sixth sense of intellect like we have, but the deer was able to realize its own mistake, and the deer lives a very spiritual life, concentrating on Ishvara, and thereby it gets a higher birth and becomes Jada Bharata, a human being again. So that means like Vedanta or whatever we do, whatever we attain, whatever we gain in this world with respect to the spiritual path, that will get continued. Even if it is for one day, even if it is for 1 month, even if it is for 1 year, even if it is for 1 minute, Vedanta will definitely help us. 1 minute also will help us. Oh, will 1 minute definitely help us? And definitely, there is no doubt. Even if 1 minute, like we are able to contemplate on Ishvara, that is enough. So the 1 moment, 1 minute, or like just the one statement, listening to that one statement of the rishis, we know Ratnakara, the hunter of Ratnakara, thief of Ratnakara, he became whom we know as Valmiki. So when the rishis said that, go and ask your wife and children whether they'll take your sin. So that 1 moment he listened, it is Vedanta. Vedanta, because what you are doing, you will get the fruit. Nobody will take the fruit. Attachment will not continue. Your parents, your mother, your relatives, all those, they won't continue. So, the worldly life is like a bus journey. So we may see a person, like we may get attached to the person. We may say, oh, hi, how are you? Like, you are so great. I didn't know even time passed by. And then like we may even try to say, okay, we should see, like we should catch up some other time. But we never know, like that will happen. Like when our stop comes, we will get down. And then who knows what happens. Then one fine day, like we are vacationing in Europe and the winter storm comes. Or like we are vacationing in Hawaii because we think it is an island and tsunami comes. Unfortunately, tsunami comes. Fortunately, if it is a tsunami like what happened a couple of days back or yesterday, it will not harm much. But otherwise, it will harm a lot. So that means like we may not know what will happen. So, but that means that all these relationships, all that we gain in life, those relationships and all will pass away. Then what will get continued? Yatha karma, yatha shrutam. Karma, whatever actions we do that get recorded, the fruits of those will get continued. Whereas jnanam also gets continued. Jnanam means yogam, whatever we attain with respect to yogam, control of the mind. So all those spiritual sadhanas, they will also get continued, they will also get carried over in the next birth. We will never fall down. We will never, like, we will in no way, like, will we forget or have to start from step one again. We will not have to nahi kalyana krit kashchit durgatim tata gacchati. So that's what Krishna says, that O Arjuna, always realize that kalyana krit, a person who does good actions, a person who does spiritual actions, a person who remembers Ishvara, remembers Brahman, that will get continued in the next birth. It will definitely get continued. Never kashchit durgatim, never will there be a durgati. Never will there be a durgati. So there will never be a durgati. They will. There never will be a kind of like bad state for such a person. Which means it will get carried. It will definitely get carried. So that is something which is worth even like pondering over or just remembering. Because that will kind of help us start in the spiritual path, progress in the spiritual path, though our progress may be very less. Oh, you say, like, just remember this, just remember this, just remember this. How many things do we have to remember? Okay, so here comes the biggest part. So this is like a king, the king of remembrance, or king of remember this. If you remember that everything is one Brahman, all this you can ignore. Because if you remember that, remembering all these are in order to get to that state of constant contemplation of Brahman or yogam. So if we already directly are able to do yogam, then all of these are not at all required. You don't have to do all of this. Don't we really have to do all of this? Okay, if you do, it will not harm, that's fine. But it's not necessary. So all of this, get remember this, remember this, remember this. Of course, like, we remember a lot of things. So we remember, like, our college mate, each and every one of our college mate, their name, what, where they are from, like, we do remember. So if we remember all those, if we remember, like, of course, if we are able to remember all the relatives' names, all relatives from mother's side, father's side, mother's father's side, mother's father, father's mother's side, many sides, like, there are. So that is like a like a chain. So what happens is, like, two people get together and then, like, a child is born. When the child is born, like, then, like, it multiplies, like, the chain grows. The chain grows from one end of the world to the other end of the world. So it is like a never-ending chain. And if we are able to remember, so we can see that very well. So newlywed, when cousins get married, their newlywed, their wives, or the other way, I think other way rarely happens somehow. So anyway, so their partners, their wives are able to remember relatives, their cousins. They are able to remember the name, and then when you go and meet them for the first time, they'll say, "Oh, how are you doing? Like, I've heard a lot about you. I've heard that, like, you have a long hair. So how do you maintain it?" Of course, they don't ask all those. So don't be worried that, "Oh, I have a short hair." So that is okay. They don't ask all those. But they are able to remember. So that means within, like, 2 or 3 weeks or 1 month or 2 months, like, without even meeting the person, by looking at albums, by looking at, they learn. So they are able to learn that. Like, so if they are able to remember all those, like, then why can't we remember all these small things? If we are able to remember all those small things, we will get immense bliss. If we are able to remember relative's name, then you are gone. The next day the relative will come, and then there will be problems. So there will be, like, we will not be led in the right direction. So of course today, bandham illa shatru illa, bandhu vari shatru vari, or something like that, Amma's song is there. That who is a bandhu, who is a shatru? In this world, like, there is only one bandhu, which is Ishvara, which is Brahman. That alone will give us anandam. Everything else, like, as Shankara says, yavad vittu parjana saktah tavan nija parivaro raktah. If like if as long as we are able to earn money, people will come. So if we are not able to earn money, like who will come? Nobody will come. Even when a person when the breath or vayu goes out of a person's body, even the wife fears such a person. So that is how it is. So that means that like we have to like all these remembrance, all these small things, remembrance is very easy. It is possible if we remember that it will give us anandam. Again, remember. So why do you go to remember? Because smaranam, smaranam satatam. So smaranam, like remembrance, is moksha, is yoga. So ultimately that remembrance can be helped by these small remembrances. So a big fish can be caught with a small fish. Badi machli ko pakne ke liye choti machli chahiye, or something like that is there, I think, some rule. So if in the same way, like all these small remembrances, concepts, theories and all will help us in remembering Brahman, which means yoga. And that we can very easily attain through learning this 6th chapter of Gita. So we'll start with the 6th chapter in the next day. So until then, may Amma bless us so that the state of yogam we'll be able to attain very soon in this birth and now itself, so that we'll each and every moment we will be able to rejoice in bliss rather than suffering. We'll continue in the next day, I'm sure.